Mutants.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for choosing the Broken Earth Radio Show, the Breakfast Radio Show today. Apologies, first of all, for the short show last week. We once again had problems with Blog Talk Radio, and we got cut off about halfway through the show. But I think it's on the archive. I presume it's saved on the archive. Anyway, I'm not too sure. Yeah, it did, yeah. So also apologies for me if I sound a bit rough. It's because I'm a bit under the weather at the moment, so if I start to lose my voice, just give you a heads up on that. I haven't disappeared, am I? Today we're going to be talking about paranormal stories. There's a selection that I can read through this morning, and also some news from the past few weeks. We will be asking you, if you're a caller, to share any unusual experiences, any stories you've had happen to you in the past. If you want to read them, we will ask you about that first of all. And if you'd like to give us a call to share anything with us, then please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Give me a second, I'll just listen back to make sure that the audio is sounding okay before we begin. Yeah, we're sounding okay, so please sit back, grab some toast, I presume, or whatever you want for your breakfast. If you're crazy enough to be up this early or that late, because it's probably like 2 o'clock in some places, and sit back and open your minds and enjoy the show.
My place. Hello. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. This is Nunu. And once again, welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. We do have some people in the queue. The first person that we'll be talking to today when it's time to take calls is the caller from 773. So just hang tight. You know, one of the things that I wanted to discuss today is doppelgangers. That's fun. You know, this is the first day of October, and it's time to, you know, get down to fun, interesting, paranormal, awesome, spooky stuff. So we'll be talking about that. We're also going to be, if Bill's voice holds up, we'll be talking about some other paranormal stories. Good morning to everybody in the chat room. And also, there's some current events, I believe, that we'll be talking about. But is there anything that you wanted to say before?
Well, yeah. Just give an update on the high life workout I've been doing. Doing pretty well, seeing results now, but unfortunately, because I'm ill, I've had to take a couple of days off, I think, from it. But I think it's good for you to take, from what I've been reading, it's good to take a week off from exercise, maybe every 7 or 8 weeks anyway, so, you know.
Right.
It's probably come at the right time. I'm sure I can get back into it pretty easily anyway.
Well, yeah, sometimes you need a little bit of a break. I'm trying to figure out, because I've been trying to keep my eyes on the news, but I'm trying to figure out if the government shut down.
What makes you say that?
Because, the government in the States has been threatening to shut down because of the new affordable health care program. And...
yeah, here we go. U.S. government shuts down for the first time in 17 years.
So it did shut down?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, wow. We'll see what happens. But it really, they really did shut down.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what that means. I don't know. I mean, I know they said that the Postal Service is still going to be running if it does. But, I mean, you know, what does that mean for, you know?
Well, at midnight, the federal government was forced to close public services. Republicans refused to authorize any more spending unless Congress delayed Obama don't care, health reforms by a year. But Democrats would not negotiate over Barack Obama's, or Barry Sotora, is his real name.
Which is just...
healthcare law. National parks and government offices will be shut, but the military and the essential services will continue. Well, that's good. But this is the first government shutdown since 1996. So what do? They just go home? Have a day off.
Well, I guess we'll just kind of see what happens over the next few days. That's all we can
well,
do.
Well, it's happened before, you know, so
right.
It's not going to be that bad, right?
Well, you know, we'll just see what happens. We'll just see what happens.
All right, well, what?
Well, I was going to... kind of talk about doppelgangers. I was going to let you rest your voice unless you wanted to say something before you.
All I wanted to say was when I went to the zoo yesterday, there was a lion there and it was roaring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to the zoo before, but I don't think I've ever heard him roar. When I've been like, I was probably about, I don't know, 10 meters away from it while it was roaring. Bloody hell, it's so loud, and what you don't get when you see it on the TV or something is the bass and the reverberations that go through you. It's quite scary, actually, you know, and intimidating.
Is it kind of like when I get mad at you?
Well, it's not that bad.
Well, seriously, though.
They're loud. Like I said, there's so much bass to it, you know. It's like someone turned the bass right up and it was just...
I bet it probably just goes right through your body and gives you a chill.
People growling and roaring at the people that were looking.
What are you looking at?
Yeah.
That's right. Come
anyway.
Out.
You can talk about doppelgangers.
Okay. What is a doppelganger? A doppelganger. It's a mysterious exact double of a living person. It's actually the word doppelganger is German, and it literally translates to double walker or double goer. A doppelganger isn't someone who just resembles you, but it is an exact double, right down to the way you walk, act, talk, and dress. And somebody, like a friend or a close relative who encounters your doppelganger, will swear it was you, even though you can prove you are not in the location when the double was sighted. Sightings and reports of doppelgangers have been around for centuries, and a great deal of superstition has developed around them. Traditionally, they have been viewed as sinister or even evil entities. Seeing a doppelganger has also been considered an omen of misfortune or bad luck. Most often today, however, if somebody reports a doppelganger scenario, they seem to be neither sinister nor evil, nor do they herald streaks of bad luck. Although some have been known to cause mischief, they just seem to be going about their business as if they are normal human beings, and perhaps they are. Many reports of doppelgangers are probably cases of mistaken identity, but such an explanation becomes harder to accept when they are seen by best friends, siblings, and parents who know the real person intimately. It seems hard to believe that they would be fooled by another person who simply resembles the original. And how likely is it that they would have the exact same haircut and clothes as have been reported? There have been several famous cases of doppelgangers, and, you know, I'll actually be sharing those. And another explanation for the phenomenon, and no less mysterious, is bilocation, a psychic projection of yourself and every detail that can appear in another place. And this phantom self can even interact with other people. So a couple of stories that show up are one about Emily Saugier. One of the most fascinating reports of a doppelganger comes from an American writer, Robert Dale Owen, who was told the story by Julie von Guldenstube, the second daughter of Baron von Guldenstube, in 1845. When Julie was 13, she attended a school, and it's an exclusive girls' school near Weimar in what is now Latvia. And one of her teachers was a 32-year-old French woman who was Emily Saugier. And although the school's administration was quite pleased with her performance, she soon became the object of rumor and odd speculation. The teacher, it seemed, had a double that would appear and disappear in full view of the students. In the middle of class one day, she was writing on the blackboard, and her exact double appeared beside her. The doppelganger precisely copied the teacher's every move as she wrote, except that it did not hold any chalk. And the event was witnessed by 13 students in the classroom. A similar incident was reported at dinner one evening when her doppelganger was seen standing behind her, mimicking the movements of her eating, although it held no utensils. The doppelganger did not always echo her movements, however. On several occasions, she would be seen in one part of the school when it was known that she was in another part at that time. The most astonishing of all the stories that they are, and I'm going to share with you, is basically it took place in full view of the entire student body, and there were 42 students there at that time on a summer day in 1846. The girls were all assembled in the school hall for sewing and embroidery lessons. And as they sat at the long tables working, they could clearly see Saatchi in the school's garden gathering flowers. Another teacher was supervising the children. When this teacher left the room to talk to the headmistress, Saatchi's doppelganger appeared in her chair, while the real one could be seen in the garden. The students noted that her movements in the garden looked tired, while the doppelganger sat motionless. Two brave girls approached the phantom and tried to touch it, but felt an odd resistance in the air surrounding it. And one girl actually stepped between the teacher's chair and the table, passing right through the apparition, which remained motionless, and then it slowly vanished. Now, the teacher actually said that she never saw it herself, but that whenever it was said to appear, she felt drained and tired, and her physical colors even seemed to pale at those times. Now, there's also been some other stories, you know, that, and I'll post this actually on the page so that you guys can read about it. But, you know, I just wonder if anybody's ever experienced something like that.
Well, I've had something similar. I may have told you about this, but I was at Alton Towers, which is a big theme park, probably the biggest one in...
On Yeovil?
That's right. Somebody come in looking exactly like me. Same hair and everything. Alton Towers, clearly the biggest theme park in the UK, most popular. And I was probably about 17, maybe. And I was with my friend. I wasn't actually, you know, not as relevant, but it was like the sixth form at school. All the kids were going on a school trip. And I got a job. I wasn't in the sixth form. I didn't stay on. Anyway, I managed to go along on the coach trip. And we went on one ride called the Runaway Mine Train. And we're having a good time. And you get your photo taken on a lot of these rides. You can go and buy them afterwards. So anyway, we've been on the ride and we got off. And we were looking at all the photos. We got like separate monitors for each photo that was taken for each, you know, carriage. And we were looking at a picture of us. We were laughing at each other because of how funny we looked. You know, we were trying to do different things like show no emotion and things like that, you know, just to... Everybody's like, whoa, with their hands in the air. We just sat there like... Doo, doo. Anyway, we tried a few things. We went out a few times. Anyway, there was one picture where we were laughing at and we were going to buy it, about to buy the picture, and I said, hold on a minute, you're not wearing that top. And he said, what? I said, look, you're wearing a stripy top. And he had like a black and white striped, black and green striped jumper on the picture. And I said, you're not wearing those clothes. And I was wearing similar, but with different clothes to who... You know,
right.
Me. And we were stood there and we were like, who the hell are they? Because they looked exactly like us. We sat in the same position, same hairstyle, same facial, you know, same. They just looked like us.
Right.
The only thing, because we nearly bought the photo, the only thing that stopped us, if I hadn't realized that he was wearing a different colored jumper, we would have been walking around this photo of these people.
Right.
Anyway, we stopped and we looked around because it'd only been like probably 30 seconds since we got off and everybody was looking at the pictures and these people weren't anywhere to be seen. We were looking around, they were disappeared.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Wow. I remember meeting a girl that kind of looked like me one time, but, you know, she didn't really look like me. Nobody really does. But I remember meeting a girl that kind of did, and people were like, oh, she looks like she's your little sister. You know, that was as close as I've ever gotten for me.
Right.
Wow. It's crazy. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we're going to take our caller from 773 and give your voice a little rest before you have to come back and do some real talking. Okay. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. If anybody wants to give us a call, remember our number is 347-215-8421. We're talking about a number of things today, but right now we've been discussing doppelgangers. And we will be right back.
There is a house in
I was listening to you guys talk about those paranormal experiences. I haven't experienced anything like, you know, to see doubles and things like that. But mm-hmm. I do have something to share. I did call in with a question, but I have an experience that I would like to share. During my high school year, I remember walking home by myself. It was really late. And it was real late for me to walk home. But, you know, me and my friend split up. We all went home. I went my separate ways. So I was walking home, and I felt my spirit tell me to turn around. So I turned around, and it was a man standing at the corner in black and white. I don't know where this man came from. He just came out of nowhere. So I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, let me, you know, just keep walking. So I walk, and I feel my spirit again tell me, like, turn around. So I turn around, and a man was following me. So I'm frightened by this point. Like, I'm ready to run, but I didn't want to, you know, trigger anything. So right before I thought to myself, like, turn around, he was, like, directly behind me. And he grabbed my mouth. And it was so crazy because it was like as I was trying to fight this man off of me, it was like he wasn't human or something. It was like his body was bricks. Like I could not fight this man off of me. And all I know is that I just was so frightened that all of a sudden he just jumped off of me. But it was as if he was looking at something on the side of me or something behind me or something like that. It was, like, so crazy how he just jumped off of me, and I never seen this much fear on a person's face a day in my life. So I don't know what I experienced that night, but when I turned around, I was, like, directly in front of my house, which was another thing. It was weird. That's my experience. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
It sounds scary.
That is the most. That is so horrifying.
I never
forget that. That is so horrifying. Well, how could you forget that? That is crazy. Oh my goodness! If something he was like solid, like a wall.
Like a wall.
Then something scared him, and then when you finally kind of just like got your brain together, you were right in front of your house.
Yes. Yes. It was like a scene out of a movie or something. Like, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. I don't know what that man saw because I didn't even see what it was. You know, I was just so startled, like, in shock.
Right.
But the way he walked off and looked at me, it was just like I never seen it a day in my life. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that something scared, I want to know what scared him, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? He was a scary thing, and something scared him, so maybe we shouldn't know what scared him. It's probably the best thing.
Well, we also like to ask, got to get my breath after that one, because I'm really, my heart is
speaking. Yeah. Yes.
We always ask our callers a question.
Okay.
And today's question is, if we learn from our mistakes, why are we always so afraid to make them?
Hmm.
What do you think?
Because it's always new mistakes. It's always different ways of making mistakes, and it's always different ways of learning new ways of, you know, experiencing new ways of learning from your mistake. So I think the whole thing is just fear itself, period, will put you on a standstill. But by there being, like, by you never knowing until that specific time whether or not you made a mistake, I guess since it's always new mistakes, the fear is always there. That is the fear of the unknown. You never know.
Okay. That's true. That's a good answer. That's a very good answer. Well, you know what? I didn't even ask you. I don't know why I got so discombobulated earlier.
Yeah.
But what's your name or what do you go by?
My name is Tempest, but my nickname is Joy. My middle name is Joy,
okay.
So they call me Joy for short. Yeah.
Oh, you're
in the room.
Yeah.
You're in the room. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. But, Joy, why don't you, you know, if you had, you know, just one question, one simple question that you could just put out there tonight, you know, what's your question?
Yes. Well, I had an interview Monday. And I was really excited throughout the week because I was just hoping, praying, just wishing that they'll call me. I felt like the interview went great. They said that they'll do the calling either Monday or Tuesday. Well, I should have just waited to after Tuesday to call, but I was still wondering if it was possible that they were still considering me for the position for the job because I really wanted to work there. I thought it was a really good fit for me.
Okay. Tell me about the job.
Okay, as far as the job, Yeah, the job is basically it's a residential service advisor, and what I will be doing is like basically helping young men ages from 17 to 21, and these usually are young men who are too old to be adopted, so they you know all live, it's like a big dorm or like a complex where they live in. So I'll be working with these guys. I'll be making sure everything's running smoothly. I'm the one that makes sure that they're signing out, making sure they're in on time and things like that. So that's basically the position. So I'm just hoping I get it. Yeah.
Well, it does look like I want to see what happens by the end of the day on Wednesday.
Okay.
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 It actually does look like there's, you know, that you could get the job. I'm kind of concerned about the money. The money, did they already talk to you about the money?
Yeah, they did tell me about the money.
Okay. Because it looks like the money is something that, you know, may not be awesome, but it does look like it's something that, you know, there's other ways, like if they offered you hazard pay or something like that, you know what I mean? But like
okay.
I said, we'll see what happens around the end of Wednesday. And also, it looks like there's another position there that's coming open, too. It honestly looks like they're losing people as far as people working there. So there's a lot of stuff that, from what I'm seeing, it looks like there's a lot of stuff being reorganized. So you know, we'll kind of see what happens, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I think you'll get it. But like I said, it looks like you're going to be walking into definitely some kind of environment.
Okay.
You know, just as part as, like, as far as, you know, the training and all that kind of stuff, just make sure they train you well. Because, you know, you can know what you're doing overall, but you still have to learn the place, right?
Yes.
I think you'll be okay. But the reason that it looks like it's been kind of strange around there is because they're having some issues with people working there, and there's some changes going on.
Okay. So you said just wait, you know, to after Wednesday, just, you know, wait it out, see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Well, it's been nice to talk to you, Joy. It really has been nice to talk to you, and thanks for sharing your scary story that just probably ruined my night.
Thanks for listening. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity
Thank
to
you.
Share my story. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to be you know, sharing in on a little paranormal story with Bill. And after we are done with that, and after we take a little break, we're going to be taking the call 10. So hold tight, because we will talk to you. We just, you know, we just have a little format that we do. But, Bill, what's up?
I'm sorry, I was swiping the nose. Okay, here we go. Right, choose a year between 1999 and 2013. Okay. It's like one of those, you know, when you get bits of paper?
Uh-huh. I was it's funny because I was actually going to try to find a picture of those and put one on the
screen. Choose a month from this year.
April.
Okay. Choose a number between 1 and 15. 20, maybe.
1 and 20?
Yeah.
16.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, this story is called Tall Shadowy Figure. this is by somebody called Claire W. This happened when I was in grade 8 in January 2011 in Ipswich, Queensland, Australia. By the time I was having a sleepover at my friend's auntie's house, because her house had recently flooded, her family decided to go out and leave us home with her 4-year-old sister. Not too long after they left, my friend started setting up a laptop while I went to the toilet at the other end of the house. After I finished, I was walking down the hallway when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a tall, shadowy figure walk behind me and into a bedroom beside me. Since my friend is quite tall, I turned around thinking it was her, but when I did, no one was there. I assumed my imagination had gone crazy and forgot about it. Later that night, once her family returned, we were sitting there on her bed when she mentioned that she thought the house was haunted because on the previous night she saw a tall, shadowy figure walk past her room. I then told her what I saw. And thank God I wasn't crazy, but at the same time freaked out because I had to sleep there for the night. If anyone knows what sort of paranormal creature it was that I saw that day, I would be grateful.
Did anybody answer? No.
No.
Oh my gosh. It was the same thing that was at Joy's house.
Yeah. There was one actually called Snake Man, which was above it. It sounded, maybe it might be interesting. Maybe I'll read that one out next day. Do you want that now or in a bit?
Yeah, go on and read it.
It's a bit longer than that one, the other one.
Is it long, long, long?
Well, kind of. It's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs, 7, 8.
20 paragraphs long?
Yeah. All right, so I'll read it out. I need to confess a true story of what is happening to my son right now from January 2013. And up to the present, it's March. Why is it listed in April? Pretty much every night, we lie down on the padded floor in his room. Huh? And I tell him a story or two. Sorry, I thought he was living in an asylum or something. I tell him a story or two, just making it up as I go. We both love it, and my wife does the same for my daughter. Albeit cradled and on the rocking chair in her room, I was telling my son a story about the last airbender, and I was talking about trials and rewards. Well, I reached a part where I was describing the hero having to go underwater to retrieve the water crystal in the gardens of the water was a dragon. When I mentioned this, I felt an energy in the room, and then out of the blue, a small sippy cup had been on his dresser for months, started hissing air out of the tiny holes, and the tiny bit of water inside was bubbling or something. My son said, "Daddy, who's that?" He did see someone, although I did not. I stood up with the tingles and examined the cup. I told the being, "Well, if you do not seek our harm, you are welcome, otherwise you'll have to go." The next night, my wife and I were talking after the kids were in bed, and I was saying, those who said that the next phase of life would be lifetimes, where we live 500 to 1,000 years, must be right. I think going directly from this immortality forever will be too much. Yogi, sages, experts with real sincerity say the same thing. Just then, right when I said that part, some invisible guy whistled to my left. I asked my wife if she heard it too. She did. We then felt there were people in the room, which was in the dining room right below the son's room. Ever since then, my son, who's 3, often says, "Who's that?" And he points to the ceiling in his room. I ask him to describe it. He says, "A man in a snake costume." I immediately thought about dragons and wondered if there was danger. Is some reptilian bothering him? Are those beings real? Sorry, stuttering and all that rubbish. One night, my spider senses were tingling, and I stood up in his room and pointed to the ceiling. I asked my son if the snake man ever scared him, and he said no. Every time I ask him, he says no, not once. I asked if he looked scary, he says no. I asked him many times so far. So every other night now I ask him, "Is the snake man there?" And he usually says yes. I ask him in the daytime if he's there, my son says no, only the night before bed. I ask him, does he ever say anything to you? He said, yes, he says things to me. Like, what? Sometimes he says, Connor, go to sleep. I ask if Snake Man is his real name, and now he says, no. I asked, does he have a long or short name? And before Connor could answer, I somehow knew he would say a long name. My son can't or won't say what the name is, though. He insists and maintains that it is a man in a costume, who otherwise looks like a regular human. I then ask Connor, does he like you? He's your friend. He's my friend. Does he like Daddy? Yes, he likes you, Daddy. I showed him pictures of reptilians on Google Images, and he said they do not look like that. I showed him an image of or two of a grey, and he said he looks like that instead, but it is a costume. This is a real thing going on. I'm not really afraid for my son, for I never did or do feel any bad energy in his room. I told the being myself, if you're not here for harm, you're welcome. Maybe you're doing your job, but remember, I am a jealous protector for my son. If I find out you mean harm, I will find whatever way to get rid of you. Do know I'm not afraid of you. The hard part is there are many stories of reptilians and greys being evil, and others say some or many of them are not. Out of those opinions, how many are based on experience or supposition? I really don't know. My son says it's a guy in a costume he can put gloves on and his mask. What I asked on different occasions is the Snake Man would touch my arm outstretched. Connor said that the Snake Man would not do it. And the second time he said he can't, Daddy, he's way up there and his hands are in his suit pockets. For all I know, my son is being taken up for examination or who knows what. I have to ask the possibilities. Is he unharmed? Never once had a bad dream about this particular thing. He once told me he had a dream where Darth Vader was hiding under my own bed. And then he was told from a voice in his head that Darth is a punk.
What?
He then dressed up in armor, attacked Vader, beat him, and stomped on his fallen body. It sounds like it could be a dream, that bit,
right?
I think that's the majority of the story there.
Huh. So basically, it kind of sounds like it's an extraterrestrial entity, huh?
Yeah, but when he says in a costume, I mean, you never know, it could be some sort of spacesuit or something. You know.
Or just, you know, because he can't put it together that there's a person-sized lizard, you know?
Well, that's it. I mean, not only that, I mean, I saw things when I was younger, and it took 20-so years for me to realize that it wasn't human, you know, because I couldn't compute it at the time.
Right.
So it's not just that. Yeah, I'll rest my voice for a few minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, well, I'm going to rest mine as well. And when we're going to take a little break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to the caller at 310. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. If anybody wants to, you know, call in for a simple sample reading or to share any of your paranormal stories, give us a call at 347-215-8421. And we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
And we're back. Wow, I love that song.
It's a long song.
It wasn't that long. Yeah, it was. It was actually 9 minutes long. Neil Young, Down by the River, I Shot My Baby. Well, let's talk to our caller. Let's talk to the caller at 310. 310, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. Who are we talking to tonight?
Hi, my name is Ani.
Your name is Ani?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, Ani, it's so nice to talk to you tonight. Do you have some paranormal story to share with us?
Actually, this is my first time calling in, so I don't really have like a story, but I did kind of like have a question that I wanted to see like if you had any information about, if that's okay.
Okay. Well, actually, we'd like to talk to the people who call in, so it's not just about you getting something. It's also about you giving back, too. So,
okay.
If you didn't have a paranormal experience to share, we do have a question, a spiritual question that we are also putting out to our callers. And the question is, if we learn from our mistakes, why are we always so afraid to make them? What do you think about that?
Well, I think because some mistakes can be life-altering. So even if you did learn from the mistake, you know, it's still, some mistakes may still have, you know, its repercussions that you might have to, a person might have to live out, you know, for maybe some months or even some years, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. No, I get it. So, like for you, a mistake means that it's something that could change things, like, and then you would be like not knowing how to come back from it.
I guess so. I guess that would be, you know, possibly for a lot of people, depending on what the mistake is.
Right. Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. Okay, well, Ani, if you know, if you had one very simple question that you could put out this morning, what's your question?
Well, I wanted to see, when the person that I'm meant to be with will come into my life, and any other details regarding that person.
Okay, that is something that is a very, very detailed question, and it's not very simple, and I'm going to explain why. What if it was 20 years from now? Would you be able to accept that as an answer? I don't think I could. So this is the deal. I think our best question to ask our guides is just, when are you going to meet somebody else? And we'll work on it from there. You know what I mean? So, but remember, everyone that we meet, we have potential to make some things happen. It's just, you know, it's just about how we play the game, so to speak. So what we're going to do, Ani, is we're going to see when you meet another person. And hold on just a moment, dear. Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Okay, so... a long pause, and then
something to do with the cat.
Ani, the last relationship you were in, or the last person that you know, kind of had any interest in, so to speak, was this 5 months ago or was it 5 years ago?
Actually, it wasn't that long ago. It was...
Okay, so maybe 5 weeks ago?
Yes, something around there, yeah.
Okay, good, because I'm asking you that question to determine timing. So the next person that it looks like you're meeting, and I'm going to just be straight up with you, it actually looks like it's probably just going to be in about 4 or 5 weeks again. But this person does still appear to be a bit of a magician, which is not a bad thing. It just kind of means that this is somebody who comes along, says some of the right things, makes you feel pretty good. And I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing at all, but we just have to kind of see, I want to see how you guys click. When you've actually kind of made that connection, we can get tacked into his guides too and see how you guys work. Okay. So one of the things that's different about me, dear, is that I actually work with a lot of the same people every day, and I have for years. So they're in relationships that are actually working. It's not about just saying, okay, what's going to happen, you know, because we don't ever want to put ourselves down a hallway with no doors. So just remember, you're meeting somebody relatively soon. He does actually look like he has the gift of gab, real nice, very eloquent, handsome, all that stuff. But like I said, we're going to see how well you guys click, and then we'll kind of go from there. All right, dear?
Okay.
All right, Ani. It's so nice to talk to you, and I'm so glad that you're listening today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be listening in, too, and to have the chance to talk to you guys.
Good. That's awesome. So we have afternoon shows normally, or early evening, and we're trying something new with this morning stuff. So
yeah, so noon, you forced me to get out of bed at like stupid o'clock.
Yeah, I did it. Where are you from, Ani?
Well, I was born in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, so you're in the United States, you're in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, well, I was born there, but right now I'm in California.
Okay, you're in California now. Okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice to meet you, nice to talk to you, okay, dear? And keep listening. All right, Ani.
Okay.
Have a good one.
You too, thank
Thanks
you.
For calling.
Okay, hon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Get a cute voice.
How are you feeling?
I'm ready to go on a marathon, I reckon. I feel that good.
Really? Do you want to go back to bed?
Yes.
Okay, go.
No, I'm not going to go back to bed. I've got to go to
the dentist this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty much as soon as the show is over, I've got to go and get changed and get on my way.
Yeah, you do.
Pretty much. So, and then I've got to wait all day for BT to come and give me some fiber optic broadband.
You can change out of that snake costume.
Yeah.
And that's with right. That, I think we're going to take another little fast break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some topics and some things. This is Broken Earth Radio, and we'll be right back.
Specific. Just it.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
Hello and welcome back to the Broken Earth Radio Breakfast Show. My name is Bill. You know, I was thinking, when I was at the zoo yesterday, the radio was playing in the cafe there, and somebody came on with an advert, you know, and my mum was saying, you know, I can't stand when they put on stupid voices and it's really grating, and you know what I mean? And then I had to think for a moment about our show, and I thought, I hope I haven't done that. And to be honest with you, it's not annoying, is it? The adverts and stuff, I mean,
you made one that was so hilarious.
I did?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but it was just like, it was so funny. And then when I was telling you to read The Night Before Christmas, and you sounded like Bane. And
it was because I was kind of laying down or something. And
you were
I don't know.
But you sounded like
yeah.
Bane. Plus,
yeah.
You sounded like you were trying. You sounded like Bane trying to
it
sound
was
like Bane.
Before Christmas.
No, that's what it was. You sounded like
Batman.
No, you sounded like, what's his name? Sean Connery trying to sound like Bane. That's what
it was.
The
Night Before Christmas.
So hilarious. And I was laughing so hard.
I'm getting what's worse with you. I haven't been ill for a long time.
You're always getting sick.
No, I'm not as sick as you. I'm always getting sick in the head. But I've been sick for, you know, a few months at least, because I've been sick doing this while I've been doing this workout.
You know, you've been doing that workout for like 4 weeks.
No, 7 weeks.
You've only been doing it for like 4 days.
This is my 8th week. I think I did too much, you see, because of the weekend. I mean, I didn't sleep very well Thursday. Friday, I was out at Market Drayton. Sharing drinks. Yeah, drinking from, because I did.
Wizards.
Yeah. I was drinking Yard of Ale. You know, so there's a few of us trying to have a go, so I was drinking out the same yard of. You know, and it just spilled all of it down me. I was walking around with a wet t shirt in the dark through the streets, drinking wine in the streets.
Like a drunk. Yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
That's right.
My mother says to me, and remember, she's always like she's always got facts and stuff straight, right? The Eiffel Tower is gone. I said, what? Are you on the movie you're watching, on the show you're watching? Because, you know, she's watching this Korean drama called The Master's Son, and she's just watching it, and she's crying all the time, and she's rewatching the shows because you know she's watched all the episodes, so now she has to wait till they come out, and it's all in Korean, and she sits there crying and crying and crying her eyes out. But anyway, and I thought she was talking about maybe on the show that because I'm like, what? But anyway, she's like, no. She really, really, really thought that the Eiffel Tower was taken down.
Heaven knows.
And I don't know where she gets these facts from.
She was watching Team America.
Remember when she told, when she said that the Queen of England retired?
Yeah, and you asked me about that, and I was like,
what?
What the hell are you asking
about? Because, I mean, everybody could be knowing about this. But anyway, so yeah, she's bless her heart, she's a trip.
Making up her own news articles.
She might be, honestly, I think that she might be just sort of like getting them from getting information from someplace, and then for some reason in her head, she's like, wait a minute, is that really happening, or is that from a show or something like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so what kind of topics did you want to discuss?
Well, there's a couple of news articles, and one of them is from a few weeks ago. Sorry, my Blog Talk Radio page was closed down accidentally. There we are. Okay. It's from a few weeks ago. Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., who claimed he handled debris from the 1947 crash of an alien spacecraft near Roswell, New Mexico, has died at the age of 86 doing what he loved best, reading a book about UFOs. Denise Marcel said her father was found dead at his home in Helena Saturday, but I said this is a few weeks ago, less than 2 months after making his last trip to Roswell. Over the past 35 years, Marcel Jr. appeared on TV shows, documentaries, and radio shows, was interviewed for magazines, articles, books, and traveled the world lecturing about his experiences in Roswell. He was credible. He wasn't lying. He never embellished, only told what he saw, his wife Linda said. Marcel's father was an Air Force intelligence officer and reportedly the first military officer to investigate the wreckage in early July 1947. Marcel Jr. said he was 10 when his father brought home some of the debris, woke him up in the middle of the night and said the boy needed to look at it because it was something he would never see again. His father maintains the debris was not of this earth. Linda Marcel said they looked through the pieces, tried to make sense of it. the item that Marcel Jr. had fascinated him the most, was a small beam with some sort of purple hued hieroglyphics on it, she said. After initial reports that a flying saucer had been recovered on a ranch near Roswell, the military issued a statement saying the debris was from a weather balloon. They were told to keep quiet, and they did it for years and years and years. Linda Marcel said the interest in the case was revived, however, when physicist and UFO researcher Friedman spoke with Jesse Marcel Sr. in the late 1970s. That didn't make sense. It's full stop in a weird place. Friedman wrote the foreword to Marcel Jr.'s 2000 book, The Roswell Legacy, and described him as a courageous man who set a standard for honesty and decency and telling the truth. And it goes on there, but obviously he's passed away. Whoops. But like I said, I changed the information and said it was from the weather balloon. So there you go. I'll read out one more news article so my voice is starting to hurt a bit now. And I'll get to another true paranormal story shortly, all right?
Okay.
A 13-year-old girl dressed up as a flight attendant and spent 2 months in an airport before she was spotted by security has been revealed today. Luo Siki. Now I understand why somebody said she was pulling the Siki. Has been at the... Jesus Christ. Someplace airport in some province, China, since July, dressed as in a China Southern Airlines flight attendant uniform. No one noticed the schoolgirl, who was also carrying airline documents until August, when she was questioned by police. Officers have twice escorted her from the airport to a children's welfare center in the place where she's from, but she insisted on returning to the airport. On her return, the girl reportedly told police, "I am truly in love with the sky. Let me go to the airport." The girl's wishes have baffled her adopted parents. They want police to investigate further, as they think someone has been telling her how to act. Luo was abandoned by her biological parents shortly after she was born and has since been adopted and rehomed more than once. The girl now lives in the nearby city of Luoding, and with her cousin, a relative of her adoptive father. There we go. She left her home in July, of deciding to take a look at the big city. She bought all of her outfits online between £38 and £304. According to the South China Morning Post, the Rose said, "I love blue sky and I've always dreamed of flying. By doing this, I'm a bit closer to my dream. I once bought 4 suits at the same time. 4 different seasons."
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. But anyway, she's been living at the airport for 2 months and no one even knew she was 13 or didn't really work there.
I don't even know what to say. The story is so, like, it's, like, all over the place. She was there, and then she bought some clothes, and she bought some clothes online, and then she bought some suits, and then, you know. Would be crazy if she was actually, like, 29, and she just looked like a kid, like that.
That's got a picture. It's got a picture of her there, but it's kind of grainy and stuff. So I read out the story last week, didn't I, about the £2 million grant that's been given to some sort of university to study interaction of humans and chickens.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard something about that. Okay, I'm going to rest my voice for a minute.
Okay, do that. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the caller at 207. That's right, we're going to pick up the caller at 207, and we'll be right back.
Good shot, kid. I think you got him. Good shot, kid. I think you got him.
And we're back. Today, our question that we are putting to the people that are calling in is basically, if we learn from our mistakes, why are we always so afraid to make them? So think about that. This is a Broken Earth radio show. If you want to get in touch with us off the show, we do have a Facebook page. There's a link to it on the banner portion where you can see photographs going by. You can also find me, Psychic Nunu, on Facebook as well. We have a Broken Earth website that's just on the internet. There's a link for all those. And if you want to get in touch with Bill about a topic or some long-distance healing or, you know, just to discuss some sort of, you know, illness or whatever, you can reach him at BillDoyle@live.com. However, every single one of those ways you can reach both of us too. Right now we're going to take the caller at 207. 207, could I have your name, please?
Yes, good morning. My name is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Hi. What are you doing up this late at night or early? Where are you calling from?
Where are you calling from?
I'm in northern Maine.
Oh, you're in Maine. So it is, Maine is,
after four.
Oh, it's 25
Eastern
after
Standard.
4.
Yeah, okay. 2-4. Okay. After 4, right.
Right, right. Okay. So you're in New England, and Bill's in England. He's in actual England. So it's
sorry,
like
25 past 9.
Yeah, 25 past 9 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that's why it's
dedication.
Dedication.
And a mail as well. I got off at 7, well, 10 to 7, even though I don't feel too good. That's dedication.
And I stayed up. I stayed up.
Yes, it is.
Well, Tom of Maine, isn't there a brand called Tom's of Maine, like for toothpaste?
Yes, I am not affiliated with the toothpaste, no.
Plug in some products.
Although I brush my teeth regularly, I have nothing to do with Tom's of Maine. I don't even use it.
Well, do you have any paranormal stories to share?
Paranormal stories.
That happened to you?
Let's see. Well, when I was about 14, I lived in a very old house, and supposedly a man had died there in the bedroom upstairs. And we always had power up in all the, you know, there was all new wiring and old wiring throughout the house, new wiring downstairs, and old ball and tube wiring upstairs. And when we went to have it changed over, the one outlet in the bedroom that was always working, the wire, there was no wires hooked up to it at all.
That's weird.
Now, in the next room was a bathroom, and when I opened the medicine chest, 5 nails came rushing out at me towards my face, point out.
It's like a horror movie. I mean, it's just
well,
like a horror movie.
it does, but there were a lot of strange things that happened in this house, like the dogs would all start barking at the top of the stairs. We had 7 dogs at the time, and they were well-trained to go downstairs and investigate. And this one time, they would not go down the stairs. They just, like, turned around, whimpered, and ran into the other room. As if they saw, you know, a spirit or something. But I just got the hell out of there. I left them on their own.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some strange things that happened in that house. What was your question that you were going to ask the callers about fear?
Well, your question is basically, if we learn from our mistakes, why are we so scared to make them?
Well, you know, I used to be really scared of making mistakes, especially because the way I was brought up, like I can't do anything unless my brother helped me because he's a lot better at things than you are. So that was, you know, an awful thing for me to be brought up with. But
right.
as I got older, I carried that fear with me and carried it, and I was always terrified of doing anything on my own that, you know, made of great importance of anything, especially once I had a family. You know, I was terrified to make money decisions or job decisions or anything that, you know, was really heavy would affect the family. But then I
right.
would just give it over. I gave it over to the spirits and the angels, and I would ask them to help me and stand behind them, behind me, and to help me make the right choices. And I can say this day, I have no fears of making my own choices. I look at it this way. I can only make things worse. I can't make things worse than they already are, you know, by doing
right.
something. Like I jacked up the front of the house, and someone said to me, well, what happens if, you know, this goes wrong and that goes wrong? I said, well, the house is already tilted in the front. What could happen? It could fall off the jack and it could tilt more, you know. But it
right.
came and worked out okay. It worked out fine. I just took my time and I had my guidance with me. I said my little prayers and everything works fine. I leave it into the faith of others.
Well, all right.
It seems to work.
Well, Tom, if you could have one simple question that you would put out to your guides to ask this morning, what would your question be?
My question? Well, I already asked that all my needs be met today. So my question is, that's a tough one. What would my question be? Well, I make the money to have all my needs met today.
Let's see. Hold on.
Sounds like you're throwing bones.
Yeah.
I'm throwing bones.
Human bones.
Human bones.
Shrunken souls.
Oh, cool. I'll have a femur, please.
He'll have a femur. Yes, he will.
KFC bones.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I've got some random numbers I was trying to give you. Jeez, hold on. Something concrete, like how much money you'd be making today. And,
okay.
But I've got random numbers here and there, like, and I'll give you those numbers and you can jot those down, okay? There
sure.
is something going on here that it looks like I've got the number 9, which could be like $90 or something, or just, but it's up
or
nine,
$9.
You know, or 9.
Wow, well, right? yeah.
I'm trying to.
I'm not asking for much.
I've also got the number 8, so it looks like there's something that you're going to get $80 for. Maybe 800. I've got the number 7. See, it's 987. It's all going down. Then, hold on just a moment. We've also got the number 10, and that's the last number I've got. So you've got random projects that it looks like you're doing here and there, and you're getting paid for. and those are the monetary amounts. So it looks like you may be just a little bit under, honestly, of what it might be that you're trying to do, but it looks like everything's still going to be okay.
Well, I'm not looking to do much. I mean, if you add them up, it's only 42, and that's plenty of money for me today.
Okay. Okay.
I just need to get some gas and some fuel oil for the shower and stuff like that. You know,
right.
A little bit of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I can make that. If I can get the truck out of the driveway.
You will. You'll get it out of the driveway.
Yeah, I'm sure. All I got to do is stay
a
trail and go to the gas station.
Continue to listen. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I said all I have to do is get to the gas station.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Then you can fill it up and then you can get around. Well, I hope you continue to listen to our show, Tom, because, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun stuff coming up over the next few weeks. I'm actually preparing myself to do a guided meditation with people.
I love meditation.
There's some stuff that I've been working on for the past few weeks that are going to be really interesting, and I've sat back and I've shared this with one of my, I really don't know what to call her. She's someone that kind of follows me, but she still also kind of helps me too, a friend, I guess, is a good way
right.
to put it. And so, you know, we've had some serious transitions, some movements in enlightenment over the past week. So it's going to be fun to share that over the next few weeks with people. And I think it's something that you would really enjoy.
What time do you usually come on?
We're usually on at 3 p.m. your time on Tuesdays. But we are starting to try to incorporate some early shows. Yeah, which would be around 2 a.m. We're trying to incorporate some of those.
I already marked you the favorite, so it should come right into my box.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
There's plenty of archive shows. We must have about 60 archive shows now, probably. Loads of it. 6,000. Yes, not quite that much. If you want to go back and listen to them. Also, you said you liked meditation. I've actually done meditation hypnosis video. It's on our page there. If you go to the website, it should be under media, not on the media tab. There's a meditation video there that I've created, so you might want to check that out.
Definitely. I'll go back and take a look if my computer will let me. I'm running an old 386.
Right.
It's about 20 years old. It takes forever to load.
Or the other way to get it is if you can get onto YouTube and have a look at the Psychic Nunu channel, it'll be on there.
Oh, yeah? Under what?
Psychic Nunu.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and have a
Thanks
blessed
for
day.
You too.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For sharing with us.
Bye-bye.
Bye. why did you say, I'm trying to be positive, Bill? I was sitting here in silence, and then all of a sudden you were like, I'm trying to be positive, Bill. I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did.
I didn't. He said, or it could be $9. And you said, I'm trying to be positive, Bill. And I was like, what? I didn't say anything. I was just sitting here.
I swear I thought you said something.
No, I didn't say a thing.
Maybe I heard your thoughts.
Nope, I was sitting here. None of my own business. And you started shouting at me. Because I'm not well.
No.
Right, do you want me to choose another? Well, I'll let you choose another story.
Okay. 2006, March, no, June, the 30th.
I don't have dates, you'll just have to choose a number.
Number 20.
You like me counting that far, do you?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. daughter's doppelganger.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
If anybody's just listening, at the top of the show, we were discussing doppelgangers. And right now,
if you weren't listening, you missed out.
Or you could always just go back and listen to it.
If we can, if Block Talk Radio holds up for the next 20 minutes. Okay, we lived in the haunted, this is from somebody called Amy. We lived in a haunted duplex in northeast Lincoln, Nebraska, from 2002 to 2005. Not only would I see ghosts, but I saw a doppelganger of my daughter. One day in 2004, I was in the kitchen and saw her walk by into the living room from the bathroom. I knew it was her because she was only three and had dressed herself in a colorful mismatched outfit. I called out to her, "Katie, did you wash your hands?" And she called from the bathroom, "I'm still on the potty, Mom." Baffled, I asked my older daughter if Katie had just been in the living room with her, and she said, "No, she's still in the bathroom." Then we moved to New York. I have been... Then we moved to New York, and now my head's all fuzzy, you know. Now I'm going to read it again. She interrupted me. Then we moved to New York, and I have seen not only her doppelganger, but also my husband, all within a few weeks of each other. We had moved here in September. It was December now, and we had a few boxes still stacked up in the back room. I was walking down the hall and saw Katie in the back room trying to walk over a big box to reach something. I called out to her, "Katie, be careful, don't fall on that box." And she called from the bedroom behind me, "What box, Mum?" I turned around, and there she was in the same outfit I'd just seen her wearing in the other room. Later that week, I was on the computer one night. Most of the lights were off and the Christmas tree lights were on. I heard my husband open the bedroom door where he'd been reading. Then I heard his slippers flop along the floor and saw him out of the corner of my eye standing in the hallway just looking at me. I could even see the reflection of the Christmas lights in his glasses. Then he went around behind me and I turned around to say something and he wasn't there. I went to the bedroom and he said he hadn't been up in about 20 minutes. Finally, I was cleaning the bathroom floor on my hands and knees and heard, and here came Katie, precocious as ever, standing there. I could see a big grin on her face and her brown eyes out of the corner of my eye. I had such a super awareness of her. Then I turned around to say something to her, and she was gone. I called her, and she was in the living room playing, and she said she hadn't got up. Even her older sister confirmed she had never left the room.
This is just, I mean, it's just crazy. It's doppelganger stuff.
Oh, I forgot to mention, sorry about the swearing in the other song. I was going to warn you, but Nuno's obsessed with Grand Theft Auto, and that's the theme from it. So, anyway, come on.
I was just going to say that, you know, it's probably some sort of projection or, you know, it's some sort of projection. Your story was interesting, though, about the guys that you guys saw that looked like you guys, but you were dressed differently. You know?
It was weird.
But, I mean, you're... Well... If, to be honest, I mean, you know, you're blonde hair and blue-eyed. There's probably a million people that look like you.
Sounds like a master race.
Of bills.
Yeah. A lot of good looking guys out there then. Silence.
Why don't we silence you for a moment and take a quick little break. Play something nice. Is there anything you wanted to hear in particular?
one of my songs. What have I got to choose from?
You have a lot of songs.
The Boogeyman on there, whatever it was.
Boogeyman.
Go on, what are you going to... Oh, whatever, what are you going to play?
Oh, yeah, let's play that. This is Broken Earth Radio, and we'll be right back. Talk about next time. Don't you love it when I ask you that question?
Yes, the best. I'll tell you now. Oh, God, I can't reach my phone. Talking a bit more like about earthquakes. And, talking about one moment. I can find this thing on my phone. Reactors. Alternative to nuclear reactors.
Okay. Am and more scary stories that I don't even know if I'm even going to be able to deal with as the day progresses. All those scary stories are probably were probably a bad idea for me.
Yeah, probably.
Starting to get scared.
I won't read any more out today then. Save some for next time.
I think it was that one caller with that story that really just kind of started it all.
Yeah.
I mean, my doppelganger stories weren't really that, you know, the ones that I was reading out weren't really that bad.
Not as scary as mine, Alton Towers. You know, Art Bell is back. The radio show used to be on Coast to Coast.
He's back.
Yeah, he left left there a long time ago. But now he's on. It's not. I don't think he's back on Coast to Coast. He's on some like Disclosure Radio or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that he's back. And he was on talking to Dr. Stephen Gray the other day. Still need to watch the Sirius documentary. I haven't got around to watching that yet. Let's watch that.
Sirius documentary?
It's an S-I-R.
Right.
I-U-S, yeah.
About the radio company? No?
Radio company?
Yeah, Sirius.
No, it's about the... No, Sirius... No, it's about the Atacama humanoid, the little 6-inch humanoid that was found, and about UFOs and aliens.
Oh, I thought it was you were talking about Sirius Radio. Never mind. Why don't you...
good at that.
Yeah, or just, you know, rest your voice, and we'll close the show out properly.
All right.
I would want to thank everybody who's listened today and thank everybody who's called in. Remember, our normal time, so to speak, is Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK, and, you know, we're kind of trying out these breakfast shows. Just to kind of see, they've done pretty well for the past couple of weeks. We'll probably do another one again at the end of the week, just for the heck of it. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, I don't know how often I'll be able to do them, because I've got to work five or six days of the week, so... Yeah, it's not always good for me. But we'll see. Nothing to stop you being on there, is it?
Not at all. But once again, I want to thank everybody for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of the week. And hopefully the United States will, you know, kind of get the government rolling again.
America. America.
Singing into a toilet paper roll.
That's right. Not just any toilet paper roll.
Oh, it's pretty.
It's got birds on it. It's like I wipe the birds on my ass. And listeners, you are welcome. That's all I'll say about this show.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, like I said. And we'll see you guys in a few days.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, Tony with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your needs. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it, or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it true. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting to be there for you. And I'll be there just helping you out whenever I can.
Get to know your parents. Never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy. But be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.